What are you doing on the streets?
Fentanyl, drugs.
What's your name?
Valerie.
Valerie. Valerie, where are you from?
Alabama.
What part?
Birmingham.
I was just there a little while ago.
Really? What are you doing around there?
That's a good question too. What was your family like growing up?
So my dad wasn't there, but my stepdad stepped in at two. My mom worked three jobs most of the time until she had a stroke at 27. And then my brother was ADHD and took Adderall. And so he was like a zombie after he got on medicine. So I was kind of the kid who was like not really the problem. My brother was the problem with his ADHD. So
Why did your mom have a stroke at 27?
I would say she had some stressful kids and three jobs.
Yeah, that's hard.
It's kind of hard as a single, well, mostly single mom. My stepdad was there, but he didn't like help in any way. He just drunk and bitched at my mom.
He wasn't working?
He worked, but he was selfish and he had $500 a week he had to pay in child support. So,
Yeah, life is hard for a lot of people.
yeah, but I mean, we pulled through as a family until my stepdad told me he was in love with me at 24. Yeah, that was weird. Very weird.
Did anything happen with you and your stepdad?
I didn't ever like feed into it, but I did tell my mom. You know, he was looking out my window when I was 12, and when I told her about that, she told me I was just damaged from being molested by my grandfather at the age of 10, and that I didn't know what I was talking about, that he was walking past my window. But I know for a fact he was looking at my window. Like he was shoulder to shoulder, window to window, like stalker like. And I just got out of the shower, I was naked. And he told me I turned into a beautiful woman like 2 days later when we were working on a car together. I was like, yep, tell him mom. And she didn't feed into it. But honestly, I didn't expect her to. If it wasn't for my brother telling me I had to do it, I wouldn't have told her. But he didn't want anything to happen to me because after being molested by my grandfather, you know, which it went to court. He was prosecuted and he did 7 months in prison.
7 months.
Yeah. And I had 3 years of required counseling by the state of Alabama.
7 months. Problem solved.
Yeah, and I got 3 years of required counseling. So I got a worse sentence than he did, in my opinion.
Yeah, the world's just not fair.
I mean, life isn't fair. I've had to learn that the hard way. You know, karma's true, but like, it doesn't always come as fast as it should, you know?
How old are you?
26.
26. And you've been in LA how long?
2 years almost in September will make 2 years. I came out here for rehab. Believe it or not. I didn't know the drugs were like this out here.
Yeah.
I saw MacArthur Park and I was like, oh,
It's like a
heaven.
Toys R Us.
Literally, one stop shop every time.
You just hang out there and you can get
All
everything
day.
offered to you.
Literally, you just watch someone nod out and then they walk away and you pick
And then
up
if
their
you and then
sack.
if you look like you do, you're just going to get offered these drugs without even having to pay for them.
You would think that, but it's really not like that. Like, guys, they like dime and nickel you. Like, they'll give you like $5 worth of shit to start off with just for you to hang out with them for a little bit. And then, like, the longer you're there and like the more dope you want, like, the more annoyed they get with you. And it's like, if you're not putting out, then get out, you know? And I'm like, this is a fucking public park. I don't have to get out. Like, fuck you. But yeah, it's mostly all sex for the guys, it seems. Or they want to show you off because, like, I'm a new person and out and like, I go do my drugs alone most of the time because I don't like getting fucked over. And every time I'm around someone else, they're fucking me over, using me for their own benefit. So that gets old. So I just learned, like, just do your drugs alone so you don't have to deal with the bullshit.
Yeah, attractive women have,
It's hard
whether
to
they're
be
doing drugs,
alone.
even when they're not doing drugs, they have a terrible
It sucks.
predicament because every guy seems to want something from them.
Yes. And it's like
Not
they want to
all.
show you off because I'm a new piece of meat, you know, like I haven't been passed around like some of the women around here, which is fine if you have, but I haven't been that.
You're
I'm
a trophy
alone.
girlfriend.
Well, you'd think so, but I deal with guys who hear voices like Randy Orton. I hear voices in my head. Yeah, that's like their theme song as well.
It's because they're all on meth.
Yeah.
And they haven't slept for 3 weeks.
Yeah, that could do something to it.
What do you think of LA and Skid Row?
Skid Row. I've done some time down there.
Well, MacArthur Park is basically Skid Row,
yeah. Well,
in my eyes. I mean, I understand there's a downtown
they're
in
a
the
walking
middle.
distance apart. Yeah, it's pretty far
It's
walk.
basically the same scene, though.
Very much the same scene. Skid Row is pretty rough,
Well,
man.
MacArthur Park. MacArthur Park.
MacArthur Park's a cakewalk for me.
Really?
That's the like 2 weeks after I got here, the rehab that brought me out here told me that they didn't take my insurance anymore and kicked me out to the streets. They were body brokering me. I didn't know that. I didn't know anything about rehab. All I knew was I'm coming here to get better. You know, they have to deal with all the fucking paperwork. Well, they used me for paperwork for money. And then once they got their money for detox and I couldn't get any more out of me, they threw me off to the streets. And I was on San Pedro or Irolo Street was the exact street I was on. And it's like 5 minutes from MacArthur Park walking distance. I had no clue, but someone that has been there for a while was like, I know where we can get drugs around here. And I was like, all right, good, because they don't give me my Suboxone, so now I have to detox on the streets, and I'll be damned if I'm going to do that without getting high. I don't want to detox. I don't want to feel the pain. I don't want to feel the body aches, the hot and cold sweats.
When did you first get into drugs as a kid?
17. Well, that weed was at like 10, but that was nothing. Meth was at 17. My brother had one-night stands all the time, so I was trying to kind of be like him. We lived on our own. Me and my brother had our own place. We were doing good. I owned my car, paid rent every month, like had a little duplex. It was a piece of shit duplex, but it was a duplex that me and my brother paid $500 a month for. And I met this guy one night when I was supposed to be headed to work, pumping my gas, and he has this unbuttoned fucking flannel shirt with the arms cut off, looking like straight country, you know? And he had his boots tucked in, or his jeans tucked into his boots, and he just had that redneck drawl that I really like. And I was like, oh, I love it. And he walked towards me and asked me with a case of Bud Light in his hand, what you doing tonight? My name's Logan Martin. Well, he gave me a fake name. It's a lake in Alabama, actually, that I've been to, so I should have, like, caught that. But I decided after work to go hang out with him because he showed up at my work, Waffle House, and we went on a date. Well, the date was mud riding and drinking, and then he had this pill. It was like a clear capsule, and he opened it up and he put it on his his middle console, and he's like, you want a line? And I was like, what is it? He was like, Adderall. And I knew my brother had done it, but it made him like a zombie. And I was like, no, my brother does that, and it makes him like a zombie. He was like, no, he does the slow act, and you have to do the fast act, and it'll make you feel like you're on speed. And so he puts it on there, and he chops up a saline. And I do it, and it burned. Oh, my God, it burned. And I'd never snorted any drugs in my life. So I believed what he was telling me. Well, then I see him a couple days later when we decide to hang out again, and he has this pipe, and it's like a glass little bowl at the end in a tube, and he blows out the rose. And I was like, what is that? And he was like, well, this here is a rose bowl. And he's like, around a bunch of people that I had met, his first time meeting them, and it was meth. And he said, crystal meth. And I was like, crystal meth? He said, this here, baby, is crystal meth. And he's saying it all country. And I guess he could see, like, I had that wild side, like, that I could bring up in me. And, like, he made me wild. I don't know why, but he made me wild. And so, like, I missed my, like, teens, like, having, like, the fun. I was always having to be grown. You know, 17 years old, and I was having to have a job. I was already graduated from high school. Like, I was living an adult life. And this guy taught me, like, in just a couple nights, like, how to have fun and let loose and be wild. And I was calling into work, and then I stopped calling into work, and I just didn't show up to work just so I could be around him and have fun. And then he said it was crystal meth, you thought I would have had a problem with it, but no, I was like, all right, we're doing crystal now. You know, it's like weed. And pretty much I was making it sound like it was okay in my head.
And that's been your thing since?
Well, and I also thought it was only in Hawaii because of Dog the Bounty Hunter. That was how oblivious I was, because all I knew was like, it was in a cooler in the ground. I only knew that because of Dog the Bounty Hunter. And, like, I was like, their atmosphere and, like, the weather they have there, surely we can't get it all the way here in Alabama. We can't grow it. Like, that's how stupid I was. I never wanted to know about drugs. I never wanted to do drugs besides maybe pot and some shrooms, which I just tried shrooms for the first time out here. And the bars, the walls start breathing and, like, talking to you. It's like, I can't hear the voice, but I just know that they're breathing.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. I like anything that's like a number, I guess you could say. I like to feel numb because every time I get sober, I was sober 6 weeks ago for 29 days. And I had weights, I had boobs, I had titties, I looked good, I felt good. But like, it was like a hole in my heart. Like, I just couldn't feel. My daughter was taken from me for domestic violence. Me and my ex, he heard voices and started beating my ass constantly. And, I was like, try to tell him, like, hey, babe, you're tripping, you know, like, and as soon as he started to believe me, like, he would see a shadow walk past the window or something, and bam, back at it again. Someone's out there. He's running to the door, going to get him. And I'm just sitting here like, oh, my God, my life is a fucking wreck. And I could not leave him for the life of me. I didn't want to give up on him.
He was on uppers?
He was on meth, yeah. Which he was shooting it, too. And then I started shooting it with, well, he shot me it for the first 2.5 years. I could not put a needle in my arm. I was terrified. My mom, she'll tell you, 10 people had to hold me down to get me to, like, take a fucking flu shot. I was being held against my will, like, no, stop it, get off me, doing the most. But my mom, she was She was not going to let me get away with that flu shot. I had to have it. Then they fucking came out with the nasal spray. Thank God. Nasal spray was what's up. I was like, no more shots for me. But my ex shot me up for 2.5 years. And then when we got out here and he left me on the road like a piece of trash because he started tripping and I lost my phone. I got mugged that night. Couldn't make it back to him. Like, he told me he was going to a Orange County rehab and that's like 2 hours away from where we were. And I was like, how am I supposed to get to you? My insurance got flagged for being like fucking stupid or some shit. And so his insurance was active. Mine insurance was not. And I was like, well, what am I supposed to do? He's like, if you love me, you'll find your way to me. So my ass is sitting here like, all right, I'm going to get high. I'm going to, you know, fucking, I'll get to you tomorrow, you know? And then that night I was mugged on the metro. Someone pushed me down, took my phone, took my backpack and like got off the bus when they opened the doors. Like, they had opened the doors whenever he mugged me, but he got off before they could close him, I guess. I didn't want him locked in there with me, honestly. I was like, let him go, let him go. I don't need it. But I couldn't remember my ex's number. Well, he's my ex now, boyfriend at the time. Couldn't remember his number. He changed it when we got out here. And I was like, what the fuck? I cannot remember this man's number. It's like God deleted it from my head because he knew he was no good for me. And I couldn't leave him and he couldn't leave me. But he left me so that I could make my way to him and do better because he knew if we were sober, we'd be good for each other again. And I was like just trying to figure my insurance out. And he needed to go before he OD'd again. He OD'd twice that week. So it was like he knew he was like getting
OD'd on what?
Fentanyl. That's like our – we did fentanyl and meth together. You never did one without the other.
You're doing fentanyl now?
Yes.
You like the downers?
I've been doing fentanyl for 5 years.
You have?
Mm-hmm. I'm not just a meth head. I normally go without meth.
You seem pretty high energy for...
This is pretty much natural. If I don't have my Fetty, though, I'm dead. But not like the nodders and not like the like bent over people. I don't get like that. The only time I'll ever get like that is if there's a lot of trink in my stuff. I can handle a little bit of trink, but I don't prefer to do trink.
Have you OD'd?
The last time I OD'd was 6 months ago. And it was a bad OD. I remember my ex trying to, like, whenever I find, he hit me with 7 Narcans. Do you know how bad I felt? Oh, my God. Talk about the worst sick moment of your life. And then he took me to the hospital. I remember waking up, and I was just like, I'm cold. And, like, instantly I told him to get me a blanket. And I just started rocking back and forth, and I was like, I'm sick as fuck. And he was like, are you alive? Are you okay? And he's, like, still in shock. Like, this bitch has been, like, stuck. Like, I was, like, not even breathing. It was bad. Like, to see the look on his face and how much I'd hurt him. And I wasn't even mad. Like, most people get mad when you Narcan. I'm, like, furious. Like, these people are about ready to fight. I don't have the energy to fight you, first off. And secondly, I'm sad I put you through that. Like, I shoot Fetty on top of that. I just started shooting up again, like, 2 days ago.
Is it better that way?
I save a lot more drugs. And
it's probably more potent, too.
I think it just hits me harder. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and it's, like... That's why I OD'd that night, because I tied off, and I never tie off when I do Fetty, because if you tie off, when you take that tie off, it all rushes to you at once. But if you don't tie off, it's slowly, and it just goes into however the pace you're putting it in is how hard it's hitting you.
What does it feel like when you first take a hit of
Fetty? The most relaxing feeling of the world. Like, that's the most relaxed I get. I just feel at peace for once. Like, nothing else matters.
I've heard heroin addicts describe what it's like to do heroin, and it sounds heavenly.
Yeah, it's peaceful.
Yeah.
It's like just floating away on a cloud.
How long does that last?
So at one point in my addiction, I was shooting up one time a day, two if me and my boyfriend argued at the time. Because every argument was like, fuck you, motherfucker. And that would scare him kind of like back to reality. Like, oh my God, I should be grateful for her. I shouldn't piss her off. Which that's a terrible way to fucking be because I'm sitting there pretty much using that against you. But I'm just like... You piss me off, I'm going to get high. What do you expect? But, I mean, if I piss him off, he's going to get high. What do I expect? You know, don't piss each other off. Fucking, he'd be always talking to Highness, you know, whores. Trying to get me jealous. I hate that shit. Respect me and I'll respect you, you know?
So where do you stay now? You're on the streets?
Back on the streets. I was in rehab with my mom, doing really well for those 20. My mom, she's a year and a month sober now. Yeah, she didn't even take her year cake because... I wasn't there. I was at that time I was missing.
Was your mom using when you were a kid?
No, my mom started using whenever her husband cheated on her, my stepdad, with a dope whore. So my mom was like, oh, you want a dope whore? And I can get the dope down and then you can pretend I'm a whore. So my mom started like trying to do drugs with him so that he wouldn't do them with the dope whore, you know?
Wow.
And he, you know, it hurt my mom that he cheated on her after 20 years of marriage. You know, 5 years, at their 25 years of marriage, that's whenever she finally called it quits. Thank God. He told me that he was in love with me whenever, right before I came out here, so 2 years ago almost, and that he was interested in, like, making my daughter his, like, he would take her under his wing as his. And I was like, oh, you mean, like, groomer the way you groomed me? Because he told me he molded me into the perfect woman for himself, and every bad quality my mom has, that I see that from my own eyes, and I make sure that that's not the things I hold on to and I become, that I've done well at making myself the beautiful lady that I was. And he was becoming like a creep, like big time creep. So I ran away from home. Like, I didn't live there with my mom, but like that was the place I ran to whenever my ex would beat the shit out of me. So my mom would protect me. Like, my mom is my biggest fan, but she was also like, whenever my stepdad was in love with me, like, she could see it and she would get upset and mad and she would take it out on me, not meaning to, you know, but like, so I knew not to come around when they were like that. But it seemed like every time my mom, like, I would go visit my mom, my stepdad was there. And then when she would show up, me and him would be talking because he had to vent to somebody. And so then she was thinking, like, I guess something else, you know, like, what is he telling her? And yeah.
If it wasn't for men, you and your mom would be doing just fine, probably.
Exactly. My mom does so much better without a man in her life. She's, right now, she's debating on, you know, what she's going to do. She's going to try to pair up with a guy that she likes. I'm not going to name names because I don't want to put her shit out there. But there's this one contestant that she's looking at, and she's like, finally, most of her check marks are marked. I told her, make a list. I gave her all the information, all the fucking things she tells me to do with the guy I tell her to do. And she's like, when did you get so smart? Who raised you? And I just look at her like, this is everything you taught me, you know? And I don't take the advice, but I know how to give it. Same with her. She knows how to give good advice, but we don't take it.
So you have a daughter?
I have a little girl, 4 years old, Lily.
Where is she?
With my brother.
You talk to her?
No, my brother won't let me.
Hmm.
It sucks. But, I don't know. My daughter is one of those things that, like, aches my heart. That's probably one of the biggest reasons I use, which is silly, because if I just stopped using, I could be back in her life.
That's right.
But it seems like it's so far out of reach. Like, I have to do so many things through the courts before they will actually let me see my kid. Like, that's one. I could do a six-month rehab, or I can do 5 random drug tests and da-da-da-da. And every time I am sober, it seems like a man is what backfires me every single time. I get in a relationship with a guy, and then the relationship is not healthy, not good. And at first, they're great to me. They even want to get my daughter back with me. They're going to do whatever
first,
they can
do.
You know, and then it's like the honeymoon stage and all the love fight, like, fades for... When I love someone, I love them full-heartedly. I'm a lover. I love people, like... And I want to please that one person. I'll even be mean to people that I shouldn't be mean to just to make you happy. And I'm not that person. Like, I don't like being mean to people. I love treating people right. But if my man's like, dog him, you know, like, text that fool back and tell him, suck my, you know, I'm like, all right, suck my dick, you know, like, just to make him feel like he's more of a man. You know how men are. They have to put someone else down sometimes to feel like all macho-y. That's not how it should be. So I need to stop doing that. That's a note to self.
Just keep in mind that 24 will turn into 34.
Yeah.
And 44.
I've been with a 44-year-old man who was in love with my mom. Weird.
No, all I'm saying is you're going to be on the streets for another 10 years.
No, I don't think I'm going to be there for another 10 years.
What's going to change?
My mom just offered me a luxurious rehab that her boss will pay for. And I can go detox. Because Alabama doesn't pay out-of-state detox. So, like, if I was to go detox, I would have to go to a hospital, and that's shitty. I've done it 3 times. Talk about shitty. The hospital food's shitty. The only thing that's good is the pudding, and it's pretty much unlimited. That's pretty awesome. I love the pudding. And the apple juice. But besides that, you only get 3 cigarettes a day, and it's whenever they wake you up at fucking 7, 12, and 5. And I'm sorry, I don't want to be woke up if I can go to sleep. Like, that's rule number one about detox. And if I'm finally asleep, that means I haven't slept. Like, I probably haven't slept the whole time I've been here. Let my ass sleep. And they don't bring you your meds. You have to get up out of bed, go wait in this line. My legs hurt. Like, my body's aching. I'm just bitching. But, like, when you're detoxing off fentanyl, it's one of the worst pains of your life. Like, it's one of those things, like, that's why we go out and use. That's why we keep not wanting to be sick.
Is it possible to just go cold turkey on that?
I've done it before. It wasn't willingly, technically. I mean, I was broke down in Alabama, Bessemer, and you have to have a vehicle out there. My truck's wheel literally came off. I didn't know how to fix it. I knew the studs I needed to replace, but I couldn't do it myself. And I was too sick off it. And also I was like, fuck this truck, fuck everything. And I laid down in this hot ass fucking apartment, hot ass house. It was my great grandmother's house. And we turned the AC on, which was broken. Like, it was just making noise. It was blowing pretty much hot air in the fucking, it was 114 degrees that day. And I was like, God forbid, man, I'm going to die. So we laid naked and we just sweated next to each other. We were hungry. We were thirsty. We didn't have any water. The house had no running water. I went to the neighbors, used their water hose.
You're going cold turkey on?
Yeah, we had no choice. We had no money and we had no fucking way of leaving the house. Like, you can't walk to go get Fetty either.
There's fentanyl in Alabama?
Yeah, but you have to drive. There's no way you can walk anywhere and just get Fetty unless you live like in the hood. Mm-hmm. Like, Bessemer's pretty ghetto, but like, for some reason, black people in Bessemer don't fuck with Fetty. They'll sell it.
Yeah, I was in.
But like, I was in Mobile. It's super hard to find someone who sells Fetty.
Mobile, it's all crack.
Yeah, see, crack. We have crack right down the road. I could go fucking three houses up and we got crack. But I wasn't a crackhead. I did do crack one time for a year, but you know, one time for a year. You get it? It was just my baby daddy's
mom.
Didn't
stop.
My baby daddy's mom loved crack.
How are you liking LA?
The only thing I like is being able to get drugs. Now, I don't know. I've been to some parts it's hard to get drugs. Like, I was living on Lawrence and 14th. That's like West LA, I think. No, Central LA. That's Central LA. Yep. And Central LA is the hardest place so far that I've had to get drugs, like Fetty. Everyone's like, nah, we don't fuck with that. I had to go 7 blocks. I was on 14th and I had to go all the way to 7th by Skid Row. And then they were still like, point me in direction still. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? I just bought Fetty from here the other night.
Yeah, but you're hanging out in bad neighborhoods.
Well, that's the only neighborhood to get drugs.
Yeah.
Fetty. It's hard to get Fetty sometimes, and it shouldn't be. Everyone does it. Oh, it's ridiculous.
And where do you sleep?
Yeah.
Where do you sleep?
It depends. If I'm in a... So, like, Culver City, I would stay in there. I would stay underneath the bridge. I even had, like... a pallet that I put in the like underneath the bridge. There's like little structures, kind of like beams.
You're staying under a bridge.
It was the only place, and like I was hidden away, so no one even knew. No one fucked with my shit.
Maybe something bad's gonna happen to you.
I mean, I've been out here 2 years and I've handled myself pretty well. You know, you treat people the way you want to be treated, and you run whenever people try to run after you. Like, I've been chased twice this week. This black guy was like telling me that he knew me, and I was like, dude, I don't fucking know you. And he was like, bitch, you owe me money. And all of a sudden I hear his footsteps coming up behind me, and like they were fast, and I was like, oh shit. And I start running. There was another guy with me, and he was like, run, bitch, run faster. And I'm just running, and I was like, what the fuck? So then I saw the cars coming in the traffic, and I was like, you know, run across the road. And so I run across the road, and I guess he just finally decided, you know, maybe I should just stop running after this girl. And I'm like thinking to myself, like, why did he chase me? I'm like, he knows he doesn't know me. Why would you know me? You're crackhead, like literally crackhead. I hate whenever they fucking are in their head, fucking hearing things, seeing things, and then they chase after me. I'm like, why me? Why today? Like, I've had a drink thrown at me and told that I was talking to the devil. I was counting up my stuff in my buggy, like counting how much money I'd spent at the grocery store, because I got bread and peanut butter and jelly. That's usually what I like always carry around. I'm known for like the bitch who has the peanut butter and jelly and the loaf of bread. And I'm like, no, you ain't getting two pieces of bread. You get one, fold it in half. There's a lot more people I'm going to feed along the way. You know, I'm trying to be nice to everybody. And I'm counting up my stuff, and I'm like, all right, 5, 6, 7, 12. And I'm like, and this bitch, like, she looks at me and she goes, you're talking to the demons. You're the bitch who told him to come after me. And then she just starts chasing me and she throws a drink at me. I was like, oh my God, what a day, what a day. And then Vons is like, you got to get out of here. And I was just like, what did I do wrong? What? Counting my money. I was like, fuck y'all, I can get cheaper bread anyways. Like, oh, I hate it. The prices of groceries have went up so much. I don't like having to pay for things that are easy to five-finger discount.
Alabama's a lot cheaper.
Yes. Our gas was like $2.97, $3.97 at the most. Like, it was ridiculous how much I saw prices different here, like a lot different. I rented a house, 2 bedrooms, 2 bath, for $700. I rented a trailer for $900 a month that was 3 bedroom, 2 bath. Like, out here, that's not even heard of. Like, the homeless people don't even have to pay rent for their houses. Like, I wish I could get housing. I've been looking at that, but I don't understand how to do it.
You haven't gotten the next to free housing?
Mm-mm.
A lot of people have it.
The one time I did get told, like, hey, we'll take you and we'll house you, they told us that transport was not coming that night, that we could transport ourselves. And if we showed up, tell them that we live right here and tell them the name of the lady that came by. So we decided, you know, fuck this shit. We're tired of living under this bridge. Let's go. So we all put in for an Uber, and we give this girl, Savannah, the money, and she puts it on her card. She pays for our Uber there. And remember, we packed up all of our tents, and we head there. And when we get there, they're like, no, we have no more rooms available. And I was just like, this bitch told us that we could come here. We had to pack up all of our house and move it. Then we just showed right back up the next day. We all had to fucking take the bus because that was all of our money just to get there.
You've chosen this really horrible lifestyle.
It seems to be a fucking repeating pattern of mine, choosing this lifestyle. I can be doing great, and then it's like some little thing will set me off. I mean, but if you go to the AA like meetings and NA meetings, like you'll realize, like this is what I've noticed. Everybody's story when they get up there, if they have a relapse in their story, they'll relapse about the stupidest thing or the biggest thing. It could be because someone dyed your hair the wrong color, or it could be because your mom died. Like, everyone's story is different, and everyone relapses for a different reason. It's just...
How big a role do you think what happened to you as a young girl with the men you trusted, like your grandfather or your...
My stepdad, yeah.
How big a role did that play in your life today?
I would say it does. I definitely have daddy issues, sadly.
You probably wouldn't be using drugs like you are.
I don't know about that. The only reason I say that is because, like, until you really walk that path, you don't really know what the outcome will be and, like, how you'll turn out. But I would like to think that if my mom and my dad were still together and they would have been happy together and not toxic for each other, maybe my life would have been different. But I wouldn't change a thing. I very much would not change a thing. I've learned a lesson from everything that's happened in my life, and I still love the person I see in the mirror. I would love myself more if I got off the drugs. Like, I would love to go to this luxurious rehab my mom has, but she told me her boss is only going to pay for it one time. It's a one-time deal, and if I'm smart, you know, don't do it too early. Not that my mom wants me to be out here doing drugs at all.
So your mom is where?
My mom's in Reseda. She just got her own apartment.
And she's clean?
She's a year and a month sober.
Good for her.
I'm so proud of her.
We should do an interview with you and your mom.
She would love that. Absolutely. And not a lot of people know about her drug addiction. Like, she was kind of known as like the woman who had it all together, worked three jobs, busted her ass, was a great wife, was a great mom. Behind the scenes, it was a little different. I mean, not that she wasn't a great wife and a great mom. It was just, she was busy, you know, very busy. So it's hard to be there when you're absent, you know, like.
No, when you have a husband like your stepdad.
Yeah, my stepdad was not, like, he would take a nap and put us on the wall if we made too much noise and tell us, don't get down. And, like, I'd have to go pee or something. And I'd be like, Bubba, will you watch, you know, peek around the corner, make sure he doesn't come while I go pee. And then, of course, I flushed the toilet and he woke up. I was like, oh, my God. And then he's like, what the fuck did I tell you? I was, get on the wall. And so I get on the wall and, like, he goes back to sleep, and I'm like, hours have gone by, my legs are hurting, like, I'm tired. I just want to be a kid, you know? Like, why can't I not just be a kid, not piss you off? But it seemed like everything pissed him off, especially when he was drinking. And he did, what is that pill? Not Klonopin, methadone. He did methadone my entire childhood. And, like, if he didn't have his methadone, he was a whole nother mean guy. Like, ill, pissed off, the world, like, was fucking a problem. Just evil. It was like I never got to be a kid freely.
Did your grandmother leave your grandfather?
Nope. She's with him to this day.
Really?
Yeah, that was a nice stab in the face is what it felt like. Not even in the back, but in the face.
Families are insane.
Yeah, which I understand, like, if you love somebody, but how can you love somebody who did that to your only granddaughter? I loved my grandparents, like, I was sitting on his lap whenever he molested me. He put his hand down my shirt, and then he went for my pants, like, to try to put his hand down my pants. And I was like, ow, you hit a bruise. And I jumped up out of his lap real quick and ran to the bathroom. My brother was still asleep on the couch.
You knew something was up. What? You knew something was wrong.
I knew that what had happened to me was not supposed to happen to me. I knew that he was being creepy and
How old were you?
10. And I knew I would watch Special Victims Unit. My mom loved it. And all I could think was, I need to call my mom, and I need to call the cops. And I was trying to get into my aunt's room to tell her so I could cry to her and be like, look, I need you to make me feel safe again. You know, this is what a kid's fucking crying out. And she had her room locked because she had a black man hidden in her room, and she's not supposed to have a black man. So he had to climb through the window. So that told me, wake my brother up, make sure he's not in harm's way from my grandfather. And me and him need to go outside and knock on her window. So I tell my grandfather whenever he asks me, where are you going? Because I woke my brother up. We got cereal. And I said, let's go take the dog for a walk so we have a reason to go outside. So I told my grandfather, oh, we're just taking the dog for a walk, because he was reclining in his recliner at this more, you know, this time. He'd done already fell asleep drunk and everything. Then woke back up whenever we were trying to leave. And so I went to my aunt's. We knocked on the window, and my aunt looked at me, and she said, what happened? And she just instantly knew. And she was like, all right, we got to call your grandma, and we got to call your mom. And she made me call my grandma first, and I thought that was, like, awkward. How do you tell your grandmother, hey, your husband molested me? He was my step-grandfather, but he was my grandfather. I never knew my other grandfather. He died when I was a year and a half old. She got remarried pretty quickly. So, you know, that's the only grandfather I knew. And then having to tell her that, she said, all right, I'll meet you at the police station. And so my mom met her at the police station with me. After my mom came and picked me up, she called the police on the way there. She said, y'all better beat me before I get there, because I'm going to kill a motherfucker. She was mad. And then she picked me up and took me to the police station, and I had to do an outcry statement. And then I had to go to another place that they sent me into, where all these cameras were in a room, and they had me with this woman who's a therapist, and she's talking to me one-on-one. And then they leave me alone on purpose to see what I do in my alone time. And I'm just sitting there with a teddy bear, rocking back and forth, asking God, why me? And, like, I was just so broken, and I had no idea what to do. And I felt like I did something wrong, you know, which then they required 3 years of required counseling. And that was fucked up. Like, I had to do 3 years, because that's how long it took to go to trial. When I went to trial, he decided to change his plea to guilty. But before they did the guilt, before they changed his plea to guilty, they made me watch that video of me. And I was 13 at the time. I was 10 when the video was taken, and 13 whenever I had to watch it. After having to see me at 13, at 10 years old, and I'm 13 now, that's 3 years ago, and I'm sitting here looking at myself broken and beat, like, just beating myself up and, like, thinking the world's gonna end.
That's hard for a kid to deal with.
And having to see myself as that victim, like, that was super hard. Like, I could just feel my heart broken and, like, my trust gone. And just, I felt sorry for myself in the time. Like, and then I felt sorry for myself looking back on it. And I was just like, man, I've been through a lot, and I've overcame all of this. Like, I'm going to get through this, and I'm going to get through the next thing and the next thing. And then it just seemed like God was throwing every obstacle at me, like, that could. Like, my daughter, she was seven. After she was 7 days old, my house burned down. My baby daddy burnt my house down because he was kicked out of the hospital. He took my car, left me at the hospital. Like, I had no way of leaving it with the car seat. So I had no car seat, no car to leave in. I had to call my grandmother that was with my grandfather, and I hadn't talked to her in 10 years. And I had to call her because I had nobody else. And I was like, look, I need a ride from the hospital to my house. And she was like, all right. And so I go to my house, and I knew there was something wrong with me, but I didn't know what it was. They messed up my epidural, so they had to redo my epidural to try to reverse it. This is after I'd been out of the hospital for 2 days. I had to go back in the hospital. I felt like I was, like, going to die. I called my mom, and I was like, Mom, I'm going to die. And she was like, I'm going to get you to the hospital. I get to the hospital. They do the reverse epidural. The reverse epidural didn't work, so they had to do a spinal tap, because your spine makes the fluid in your brain float so that you don't have, like, all this pressure against your skull. Well, without it, you have all this pressure, and the light hurts you. Like, it was one of the worst pains. I would rather give childbirth every day of the week than have to get a spinal tap done again. It's just something, like, that's the fluid that makes your brain, without that, feel like your pressure, like, your skull feels like it's crashing and it's taking your brain and shoving it into pieces or some shit. It was the worst pain I'd ever been in. I'd rather give child, and I felt every bit of childbirth because the epidural didn't take. So having to do all that alone, like, baby daddy was not a good guy. He was so far in his addiction that, and he's gay actually, sort of. I don't know. He likes guys and girls. I guess he's bi. But I didn't know that at the time. We didn't have a very good sex life. We didn't have a good sex. We didn't have good nothing. It was just, I felt so bad for him. He was homeless when I met him. I was doing good, and I let him in my house, like a little puppy that was lost. Let him shower, shit, and shave, and it was like he never wanted to leave. And then he realized he could use me, and I was convenient because I had a car, I had a house, I had a job, I was doing good. And then it was like from then on I went down, because I was sober for a year and 7 months. And then I met baby daddy, and then it was like all hell broke loose. Like, I can make someone else happy with the things I can give them. Before, like, I had nobody to please. Like, it was just me. And I did a good job just taking care of me. But every time I get with somebody, it's like downhill it goes. Mm. I don't know why. I'm still trying to figure that out. I don't know if it's me that's toxic or the people I choose to be with are toxic. But it's definitely toxic. It's
probably the same thing.
Probably all of it. And the drugs don't help any. Because drugs are come first. Like, I just met this really great guy named Roger. And I met him because he asked me for a torch when I was down by Skid Row. And he was like, you have a torch? And I was sweeping my side of the street so I could make my little tent for the night. And he's like, so I go hand him it. And he's like, you want to come to my place? It's like right here, a block down the street. And I was like, I don't really know you. And, you know, I don't try to get in strangers' cars. He had a van, a rape van at that, with like the whole like caged in back. And I was just like, this is not going to go good for me.
A rape van?
That's definitely what it looked like, a whole rape van. Like, I was scared, honestly. I was like, will you roll the window down so I can at least open the door from the outside if you try to lock me in? Like, I know all the tricks. I've been through it all. You know, you're not locking me in the car. And so he finally, you know, rolls the window down. I get in the van. I'm like, God, I'm making such a bad decision right now. And then we get to his house. Literally, it was like 1, 2. I was like, okay, I know where I'm at. Because it's hard being lost out here all the time because I don't know where I'm at. I didn't have a phone. And so he lets me in his place. And he had water and power, but it was because he had a water hose that was right outside of his work. He literally lived right outside of a warehouse. That was his work. I was like, dude, that's dope. And it was cool at first, but then every time I left to go get Fetty, because he didn't want to help me with my addiction, he does Crystal, but he won't do Fetty, which I respect that. But, like, I'm going to leave and go get my Fetty. And he's like, you can come back, but, like, we don't – I'm not going to help feed your addiction in any way. He's like, you can do Crystal all day long, but not Fetty. I'm not going to help you with that. I was like, all right, I didn't ask you to, first off. Secondly, like, I'm going to go get it. I'll be back whenever I get back. But every time I go get it, it's like 7 blocks I have to walk at least to go or ride the bus. But I don't know which bus to ride because I don't have a phone, all that shit. We don't have that back home. There's no buses for public transportation. You don't have public transportation. So I'm still getting used to all that shit out here. It's very, very tricky for a girl who doesn't understand it. That would be me. And so I'm always walking because if I get on the bus, that's a lot further that I have to walk versus like walking, like if I walk past it too much, like it's only walking distance. It's not like bus distance. Buses can go pretty far, pretty fast, actually. You know, you can get lost 5 blocks like in just 2-3 minutes. I'm like, God, dog it. But you're only gonna get lost like 1 block in just walking distance. I've had to learn.
I think we're way past this, but I'll ask this question anyways. This is a beginner's question. Why don't you just quit?
Because of the sick. And because every time I go back to it, so, I mean, there's something that keeps calling it back to me, and I keep running back to it. Like, it's the most reliable thing in my life right now.
Is your self-worth part of that?
I'm sure it is. Like, I feel like I could be a way better mom. Like, I should be off the drugs already. I should have been off the drugs many years ago, 4 years ago at least, 5 years ago. I should never got with the drugs. The drugs
– But you probably – The what happened to you with your grandfather and other men?
I definitely think it plays a role.
Impacts your self-worth, and then not being there with your daughter, plays a role.
I miss her so much. She's the beautifulest thing in the world.
And then you see yourself living on the streets and addicted to drugs.
It's almost like this lifestyle is better for me. Like I feel like, I guess it's because like I can hold myself high whenever I'm on the streets because the people that I'm surrounded by, they're pretty much, I don't mean this in a rude way, but like, they're all shot the fuck out. And me, I'm not.
You're not.
I can handle myself. I can handle the dope. Like, I have self-control. Like, you don't see me sitting here nodding out, and I've probably done a good gram of Fetty already today. Like, that's insane. Most people are over here like, whoo, and out, you know? I don't nod unless it has trink in it. Will not nod. I don't OD unless trink's in it. I hate ODing. Oh.
Let me ask you one last question.
Yes.
What would you say is the most important lesson you've learned in your life?
Treat people the way you want to be treated. I've realized whenever you do bad things happen. But if you do good things, it might not come back to you immediately, but it'll come back to you eventually. Like, I get joy off of making other people happy. Like, if I'm, like, when I get my bread and my peanut butter and my jelly, I know that's too much for me. I can't eat 20 fucking peanut butter and jellies. But I know everyone on Skid Row or wherever I'm going to be as I go along my night is going to want one. So handing them out makes my heart feel good. And I guess that's another reason I'm on the streets, honestly. I like to make other people, like, know it's going to be okay. Like, it's not my job, but I enjoy doing it, like, just to tell them, like, there's a better way, you know? Like, a lot of us don't even know another way. Like, I know me sometimes, like, whenever I'm sober, I don't know another way than, like, the street life, it seems, because I've gotten myself used to it. And it's like, I don't see myself growing old. I see myself dying at a young age, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with death. I'm okay with being on drugs because I'm still a good person. I know I'm going to go to heaven if there's a heaven, because at the end of the day, I treat people the way I want to be treated. I'm a good-hearted person. I have a heart of gold.
Building self-worth is probably the hardest thing we will do in our lives.
Yeah. You have to know your worth, you know, and I know I'm worth more than this. It's just right now it seems like the only answer I have is to get high and not think about it or not dwell on it, you know. Life is hard, but it is what you make it, you know.
All right, Valerie, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck out there.
Okay.